Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, now
I don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
It's right to the hog right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget Live, Not So Live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee. Welcome, you bunch of low lifers. And that's a term of endearment around these parts. If you're just tuning in for the first time, that's not an insult. I have people every now and then be like, man, you kind of rough on folks. You rough on folks. No, the low lifers are the loyal bunch. Listen to this podcast week in and week out. And this is the podcast for Monday, June the 12th, 2023. Hope everybody's doing well out there. I know I am certainly better than I deserve. Lots of good things going on. Lots of busy right now in the traveling circus world. Just got back from Gunnersville. Spent some time with my man, Ryan Engelman, over there. And new friend, Brandon Stevens. They flew over there and We got to get out in the express for a couple days on good old Gville. In the crowd, the fine folks from Sealy Outdoors were having the McDonald's Big Bass Splash over there this past weekend, and we were right in the middle of it, and it was a little crazy. But the beautiful thing about Gunnersville, and that's what I told Ryan and Brandon before they came, once I realized the Sealy tournament was going to be there, was there's so many fish in Gunnersville. So many fish in Gunnersville. It's like, dude, we can literally find a deal to go get bit away from people. And we did just that. We fished shallow. Didn't have a lot of luck deep on some of my favorite little kind of juicy places over there. They're stingy. There's not a lot of current on the Tennessee River, but got bit on that old LOB jig up shallow some and caught some big fish doing that and caught some fish on old big wire. Big wire. As little Trey said, that's an old man fishing. He said, Grandpa, tell me about your big worm. So we did that. We caught some fish on old spooker, little buzz bait action, little toad thumping frog. It was fun, man. We had a good couple days over there. One day I spent, I think it was 13 and a half hours or something in the boat total all day. I'm not getting to fish as much as I want to right now, and it's driving me crazy. So when I get those days, I don't turn loose of it. But a good time, a good people. And old Ryan, he was in town because he had to ride on up to Nashville and play CMA Fest, just a little pop-in show, a little surprise show. So if you were at CMA Fest, I hope you got to go by Blake Shelton's bar there and check the Turnpike boys out, them old troubadours. But they're fixing to get their tour cranked back up with this new album coming, so get out on the road and go see them if they get close. I think they kick off. I'm sure everything's sold out already, but anyways, they kick off in July. But go check them boys out. I'm going to be, if you're going to be at the Ryman shows in August or the Orion Amphitheater shows in Huntsville in November, give me a shout. Be around. Let me know. Hit me up. All right. Yeah, good week, man. Got Bass Thumb, and it's good. Good week, to say the freaking least. All right. Let's get into these sponsors. Got a good guest today. Got a couple things we'll talk about beforehand. Y'all know how I do it. I'm just running my mouth about all kinds of stuff. StarTron lets me run my mouth. These sponsors of mine make it all possible. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth in your chainsaw and your weed eater is going to help get that ethanol out of there. All this gas has got at least, I believe it's like 10% ethanol in it. Every time, look when you pull up to the pump. Unless you're getting ethanol free, which is, as gas climbs back up again a little bit, that ethanol free going to cost you a little bit more money. Put you some StarTron in there, kick it in the teeth, get it out of there. Nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run due to stupid dumb ethanol. And then sister, like right there with them, the StarBright product line, all the cleaning products. It's StarBright season. Clean yourself up, okay? Don't be looking like I'm looking right now down there in the shop in the Express. It's got eelgrass everywhere. It's got a mud line still from the Alabama River. It is not StarBright season at my house yet. I use more StarBright stuff lately cleaning like the pool, like mildew stain remover and on my diving board, stuff like that, than I am in the boat. And I should be ashamed. My boat desperately needs a deep clean right now, to say the very least. But StarBright, StarTron, bringing you LBL. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 is the code that's going to save you money there. Running a great sale from now all the way to the 4th of July on their lithium batteries. You can buy a bundle. You can buy a single. But I know one thing is LBL10 is going to save you some cash. Let them know that you are a low lifer. ProGuideBatteries.com. Again, you know, I'm running everything you can run off of one of their AGMs right now. I'm running them trolling motor, but I've never killed them in two seasons, man. It's they're really, really, really great products. So ProGuideBatteries.com for that. Another company that I am proud to get behind, Baitworks, bait-works.com. That is where you can get the LOB jig. And I can tell you right now, if you do not own an LOB jig in the hot pocket color, A, shame on you for not having an LOB jig, period. But that joker gets bit. It catches biggins. And right now when they're up there cruising around for bluegill, a lot of parts of the country, you're thinking, oh, I need to be out there deep. Not necessarily. I caught the biggest fish of our entire trip this deep on an LOB, multiple bites on that joker, and they absolutely were just choking it. You can use code Duncan-10 at bait-works.com. Of course, you don't just have to go there and buy LOB jigs. They've got anything and everything you could need, from all the soft plastics that are out there, the most popular brand, Zoom. They got them toad thumpers. They got them toad thumper frogs. We caught some on that old toad thumper frog over there at Gunnersville as well. But get on there, bait-works.com. Don't order it if you don't want it. They are going to get it to you fast. And last but not least, hang that freaking banner right there behind me. Most of y'all say it's off-centered. I think it's the damn camera. Express Boats. The Bassmaster Classic winning all welded high performance aluminum bass boat. Yet again, got to take a newbie, my new friend Brandon Stevens, my buddy from Oklahoma that rolled in with Mr. Engelman. He got to fish 2 days out of the Express, and dude, it amazes me and makes me so damn proud every time I put somebody new. I know y'all get tired of me saying that, but if you want to go take a ride in one, I'm telling you, it will change your mind if you're on the fence about it. Fantastic boats. But what I'm always impressed by is fishing three adults out of it, and that just how stable the fishing platform is in it. It's killer. But then when you're over there in that grass, you got all the sea deck. It's just maintenance is so, just so easy in the Express. Amazing hole shot. Three people in there. Cooler, absolutely. I take my Yeti with me this time of year. I'm just bad about that because it just holds ice better. You know, boat coolers are just, they are what they are this time of year, and just want to keep that ice a little longer, especially on a long, long day. So I take a bigger cooler with me, and I think a lot of folks do that this time of year, especially in a tournament, to keep extra ice. But anyhow, full cooler, full of drinks, full tank of gas, three grown men, whole shot, just jumps out of the hole. It's amazing. I'm absolutely consistently blown away by the X21 Pro LE. Express boats, building excitement since 1966. All right. All right. Just going to check my phone. Just going to make sure that I don't have any texts from our guest saying, I'm not doing this today. Real quick. So, if I seem like I'm more all over the place than normal, it's because we have all the kiddos here. Got Harper's boyfriend, main man Keaton, over here too. And I just cooked dinner for him just a little bit ago, recording this on Sunday night. So I'm a little helter-skelter. Been grilling, been hanging out, been watching them Volunteers whip ass in baseball today. They actually lost one game and then won the second. Going. So when you're listening to this, be thinking about them big orange boys trying to get back to Omaha, which is pretty daggone cool. We've had a good time watching them all year long. Last few years under Tony Vitello have been a lot of fun for those Vols baseball boys. All right, so I got to say huge congratulations to Adrian Avena, man. The Cayuga event, or as my buddy Scott Suggs said, Cayuga, in a video this week. I just want that on a ringtone, Cayuga. What can you say besides just wow? My jaw's on the floor. If you think we've got, you know, the most amazing bass fishing in the South, maybe at times, but nah. They got us up north, man, those fish. And, yeah, they're frozen half the year, so we're going to beat them those months, right? Because you can go somewhere and get a bite, and the water ain't hard. But some of the weights were absolutely nuts. I think it took like 26 pounds to make the top 10 in that knockout round deal. I know there were been in a cumulative weight deal, a lot of century belt kind of guys in that with all smallies. Freaking stupid. Jacob Wheeler caught a 7-pound smallmouth, but Adrian Avena comes out on top. He posted a video this morning, the final morning, with his family there, and he got emotional. It was really cool, man, because I don't know Adrian well. We fished the tour against each other maybe 1 year. He might have been there 1 year before he went over to the Bass side, and then, of course, now Bass Pro Tour. And he is he's a guy that, I mean, I think a lot of folks have expected him to do this. No surprise for him to win in the Northeast, but he's kind of a tidal fishery guy. He always had some success on the Potomac River, but seems like he's just always around in those BPTs now. Over the last few years, he's you know, making Red Crest. He's consistent. And that group, that foursome there, that MDJ, Jacob Wheeler, Dustin Connell, and Adrian Avena, they're just fish catchers, man. And they feed off of each other. They're competitive. But it was really cool to see him win. He had 29-something and then 27-something, all smallmouth for 2 days, beat out Spencer Sheffield. You had Kevin Van Dam in the mix. You had a little Alton in the mix. Of course, Wheeler in the top 10. So such a cool top 10 to be able to win. Mark Rose, a lot of Dakota Ebear again in the top 10. Dudley again with a top 10. It was a really cool tournament. I watched as much of it as I could. A lot of sight fishing, of course, which the internet was like, man, I don't block none of this, man. Y'all should block them freaking traffic cone looking things. And then on the same post, MLF would post somebody with a traffic cone. There'd be people like, electronics is ruining fishing. I don't like it. Just hundreds of them, I feel like. So I got on the comments and was like, we should ban pros from being able to see, make them wear blindfolds. And I don't know. I just never understand. I say this week in and week out, and I'm whining like those people are whining, but I just don't understand why you feel the need to just say such dumb things over and over and over and over. Like, enjoy it or not. I'll tell you, from a guy that's fished since he was a kid, I like seeing a 7-pound smallmouth get caught. I like seeing 6-pounders. I like it when 5-pounders don't help a guy. That's crazy to me. I fished all over this country and back. 25-pound stringers aren't normal. Not stacked up, not down to like 30th place or whatever they were. It was dumb. Those knockout round weights where they go to zero, dumb. Absolutely dumb. It was incredible. But I will say this. For every positive, there's got to be a negative, I think. I don't know who said that. Maybe somebody. But, man, I think they do have an issue at MLF with – I don't know, maybe issues, not the best way to put it, but there were a lot of guys that caught the same fish. And with the split groups, Group A and Group B, it was inevitable. It was going to happen. I believe it was pointed out that, you know, Van Dam had 1/6 the first day. He had 28 pounds. He was a leader. And Spencer Sheffield, it looked to be the same fish, same area the next day. I think Joe Lee might have caught one of the same ones that Dudley caught because they were betters and they were going by. I mean, we've never really had – they have. They fished these every fish counts deals until this year when they switched to five. But they've had bedfish tournaments in the catchway release format. But I don't think they've ever had one this significant where you had to really have those five pluses, and there obviously aren't five pluses on every boulder, even though it kind of looks like it. There were definitely some reproduction there, right? Like there were some fish, some repeat catches. Some of those fish got caught a lot. I think Wheeler on live, the 7-pounder he caught on the knockout round, he tried to catch it again. And here's the thing. And I know I heard Dudley say, well, I got one five. I'm trying to find some new fish, but I got a 5-12. I know where it's at, a 5-9, a 5, blah, 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 5, that I can go catch. It's not the angler's fault, in my opinion. I just think there should be, I don't know. I shouldn't say, I want to say there should be a rule against it to not retread fish, but it would be the most impossible thing to ever in the history of the world freaking try to, man, like, I don't know. Like, how you enforce it? How do you enforce that? Oh, you caught that one yesterday. Unless they put some kind of tag in them or something, I don't know how you would do it. But I do know that those big smallmouth will bite again, more so than largemouth. Largemouth will bite again as well, but those big smallmouth are super aggressive. They will bite again. And there was a lot of that went on. That being said, those knockout round weights, they mashed on the gas. Mashed on the gas. So it's hard to do with a lot of retreads. I think they did indeed find a lot of new fish. Obviously, it slicked off calm. The crazy Canadian, thanks a lot, Canada, the crazy Canadian smoke from the wildfires, the first few days they had that to deal with. But I don't know, it's a very odd situation. I've seen and I've heard from some folks about it, reaching out to me about it, wanting to know, you know, kind of what I think about it. And it's, I think the catchway releasing is great. I think, especially in the spawn, I think it's fantastic. Like, you put them right back and they go bloop right back to the bed, and that's cool. In an event like this with these stone cold killers who are also very good at playing chess, when they go bloop right back there and you don't take them for a ride back for a weigh-in, it puts in this whole new strategy, right? And so I know that some of these guys were weighing the same fish a couple of times. And so that's kind of weird. And for me, it's kind of like an asterisk beside the weights a little bit. It was still a freak show. It was still an incredible tournament. It was a fun tournament to watch. But that being said, It's a weird one. And I think the first year of BPT, I think I did say, you know, how do they do that in a bedfish tournament or a bed and smallmouth tournament? Do they just like throw over there and catch that one over and over and over and over as long as it'll bite? And you just go, ding, 3 pound, 1 ounce, ding, 3 pound, 1 ounce, 3 pound, 1 ounce. And like you just run the score up, or do you move along? And now that they can only catch five, and like I said, at Cayuga, it was very important to have five megas, right? So there were some retreads. And I don't know how. I just, like I said, it's a gray one. It's not against the rules, obviously. How you would ever enforce it, I don't know. That's going to be a mess. But that is kind of one of those downsides to that catchway release thing. That being said, if you catch 30 pounds off of a deep hole in the knockout round and you release them back and you come back the next day and you catch 27 off of it, how do you know that some of those aren't the same? You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's that's just part of the strategy with this deal. But I've seen some people talk about it. I've had some folks in the industry reach out to me about it. B1, I don't know how you'd ever police it. It's like the information thing. Other than polygraphs, how are you going to police it? But if I, like, catch this one, what if I was just in the area that Wheeler was in yesterday? And I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say there. But lost my train of thought. But it's weird. Like, what if they're two on the same, like, in the same rock pile or whatever. They're by the same boulder, and you caught one yesterday, and you left the other one. But then you come back, and it's like, would you fish for the same one? Like, it's going to be a hot mess, but it was a weird one. It was a weird one. That being said, rounded out with a big, nice boat. Adrian Avena kicked ass. Giant weights. I want to catch a 7-pound smallmouth. Cayuga is a badass lake full of a lot of 5-plus-pound largemouth and smallmouth. And it was a really cool event. Last year, they were offshore. They were cranking and catching largemouth. DC won it fishing for smallies. This year was a bedfish deal, and it was really cool. And you know I talk about it a lot. I'm a sight fisherman, so I'm all about that life. I was jealous. At home, I literally had my flogger in the swimming pool. Just flogging. Just out there, just a flogging. That's what I was doing this weekend. But yeah, killer event. A little weird, killer event. All right. Y'all let me know in the comments what you think about that. I know y'all will. We're fixing to get the sauce from a guy that I really respect. And most of the time I'll say I don't have many guests on that I don't respect. If I have you on this show, because I get to, I don't want to say handpick, but I do. I pick based on what's going on, based on who I want to talk to. It's kind of how I make my guest list, based on your the low-lifer requests and things. But this guy was a low-lifer request a couple years ago. He was just kind of starting to get his name out there. He was doing well on YouTube and was making his way up. And he is now $359,000 in earnings to his name. His sponsor portfolio is growing. He has been fishing professionally for 4 years now. He has 33 for 40. 40 events, 33 checks. He is currently leading the Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year by 12 points over Brandon Cobb. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get the sauce run presented by the W Sauce, Kyle Welcher.
What up?
What's up, Kyle Welcher? How are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Not like leading Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year race going into the Northern Swing good, but otherwise I'm pretty good, bud.
Well, the problem with that is the Northern Swing.
See, that was like my boring question I had on my list, but we'll start there. Because you're not a boring right. guy. You're anything from it. Like, what do you I had Brandon Cobb on, and I hope I'm not the kiss of death for you, but I had Cobb on right before the Sabine, and I'm like, so Cobby, the Sabine's kind of that turning point in the season event for Angler of the Year. It's really important. He's like, oh yeah, because you could sink the battleship right there. You got to be in it, you know, going through the Sabine, headed up north. So you were able to take the lead there. Now we head up north. I mean, dude, you are 33 of 40 times in the money per Bassmaster. I mean, you've caught them up north, dude. Come on, don't give. You're not worried about it, I feel like.
Well, it's not really that I'm worried about catching fish up north. It's just more about, you know, just making good decisions, not losing any, fishing clean. You know, you don't want to, like, leading AOI is like, that's where you want to be, because it's going to take X amount of points to win it. And right now I have the most points. You know, I have the most points getting to that goal at this point. So I don't really care that I'm leading it. I just care about how many points I've got and how many more I need. And I have no idea how many I need.
I was going to
say, yeah. I'm not worried about actually catching fish. It's just about the decision-making process and fishing clean. You know, if you're prepared, fishing clean is kind of an afterthought also, because you're going to lose some. It just happens. Like, you're not going to fish.
That's right.
You're not going to fish on St. Lawrence for 4 days and catch 35 3.5-pounders and never lose one. Like, you catch 35 a day and never lose. Like, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
Like, that's just the fact of the matter. So I'm not worried about catching them. I'm just really, you know, every single tournament is a string of decisions that you have to make. And that's what I fixate on, is the decisions. Yeah. I don't fixate on the negative or what could possibly go wrong or nothing like that. I just want to make good decisions.
Interesting. And you're a very calculated guy. I think it's interesting just from you're analytical. I think you're a very analytical guy, and you play the odds. That comes from your gambling background, your poker background. You and I talked about this the first time I ever had you on, but it's interesting to hear you say, I've got the most points right now. It's going to take a certain number. But then you said, I don't know what that number is, but we can go back through the years, right? You can look at an average number, I feel like. Do you have a number in your head that you think it usually is around that to win AOI? Or like the last couple of years?
I've actually not even looked. I have no idea. I knew going into the season, I thought I needed 530 points to make the Classic. So that's what I was, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, I've had two good finishes. It's like, okay, I need two more good ones and then five decent ones and I make the Classic, you know? So
yeah.
I looked at that, but I have not looked at the actual, what it takes to win AOI, but it's, you know, it's not set in stone. You know, sometimes it could take a record high. Sometimes it could take a record low. It just depends on kind of how everybody else does that has, you know, strung it together throughout the year. So, I mean, it's just, I have no idea. It's still up in the air.
Well, and let's take a look at this list real quick. Let me just run through this because I knew what it was, but then reading it, I was like, holy crap. So you got Brandon Cobb, John Cox, Tyler Rivette, Drew Cook, Will Davis Jr., Patty Walt, Patrick Walters, Drew Benton, you got Hunter Schrock, and then Jay Shakurit in that top 10. And dude, it's that's a different top 10 for Bassmaster Angler of the Year. And by different, I mean, it's I said this a few weeks ago on here, I had Luke Palmer on, and then Cobb, I asked him the same thing. It's kind of a changing of the guard this year. And what I mean by that is you've got some really veteran guys. I think you got to go down to like, which Stetson's 11th. And I'd call Stetson a veteran, even though he's a young guy, but he's been doing it for so long. He's a veteran.
Yep.
But then you got like Iaconelli's in 12th. So it takes that long to get down there. I mean, we know John Cox, he's a winner. He's had a lot of success, but he's not normally that like in that Angler of the Year mix necessarily. He's always going to make the Classic. He's a consistent guy, but this year is just different. So, you know, out of that group though, they're going to catch them.
Everybody's
going to catch
them. For sure. Yep. And I plan on catching them, but you just got to find the right size, you know, and that whole top 10, whenever you look at that top 10, it just, that's people who do their own thing.
That's right.
And we've had like six tournaments so far this year where you catch them however you want to catch them.
Yep.
Like pretty much like period. Besides Okeechobee, you pretty much have to catch them just however you wanted to, you know, and everybody has stuck to their deal pretty much. That's in the top 10. It seems like to me, everybody just kind of stuck to their deal and it's got them through.
No doubt about it, man. It's been really, it's cool for me to see just because I know so many of y'all and I know a lot of those names on that list. Other than, I don't know Tyler Vett real well. It's cool to see him kick your butt. He seems like a good dude, great personality in the sport. Seeing him win on Okeechobee was awesome. But just freaking absolute stone cold fish catchers in that group. And John Cox, you always got to look over your shoulder at Mr. Cox. No matter where you're going.
Yeah.
always. I do the, hang on, let me hit it right here. Oh, wrong button. The Cox watch. John Cox watch on LVO. Cox watch, just because you never know where he's going to be. He could be in California today. He could be in New York tomorrow. But it's hard to follow that Cox all over the country. So I try to keep the people updated, Kyle.
If you want a shortcut where John Cox is at, he's usually in the check line for every tournament. Every tournament in the country.
Yes.
If you want to find him, he's getting a check.
Just look for where the weigh-in trailer's at. He's probably there getting a damn check. No, you're
right. That's right.
You're right about that. That is a damn good way to put it. He's fishing MPFL with us this year over there, and it's like, I think he's fished two. He's got paid up in both, and he's way up there in Angler of the Year after skipping one. Him and Patrick both, they're always in the damn check line. Walters is one of them, too, that you can throw in there.
Absolutely.
For damn sure, man. But what, and I asked Brandon Cobb this same question. So, I find it interesting because I've known Cobb a while. He's a young guy that, you know, he's had a lot of success. He's won events. He's a consistent guy. But when he's leading Angler of the Year, I asked him this question when I had him on a couple of weeks ago. What's different this year? Because you are very consistent. And I think I hear your name amongst your peers more than any other name. I really do believe that. That just like, damn, Welcher, 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 Welcher. Yeah. Like, you're the guy a lot of veteran guys are like, yeah, he's one you better freaking watch going forward. And here you are in the driver's seat. But what do you think is different this year? Is it, like you said, you get to fish your way so far? Or is it just making the right decision? Things are clicking. What's the overall recipe to 2023?
So, it really – this year has been a lot of like fast starts in tournaments. And the reason that's so important, and I mean, I know that this is going to sound like just a generic answer, but like last year, I had the same routine, same practice schedule, same diet, everything, like trying to be in best shape I could possibly be, thinking about stuff. And it's like every time I blast it off, and I had like a terrible year last year. It's absolutely awful. Every time I blasted off, it was like 11 o'clock every single day before I got a bite. And I done ran through everything and tried everything I could think of. And it's like this year, first stop, I catch two that like, hey, I can weigh them, two that I can weigh in. It ain't like I caught two 12-inchers. It's like I catch a 4 and a 3 off my first stop, and I got 7.5 hours left.
Yes.
And it just seems like that keeps happening. And then also, like, at the end of the day, whenever you're like, I need one more to maybe get a check or whatever, then all of a sudden I catch two more big ones. And it's like it just is a different result. Like, there's no special thing that I did this year that's different. I didn't like rewrite the book or anything like that. It just feels like I just trust the process, and I just got a vastly different result this year from last year. I mean, I tried as hard as possible last year and thought about it and was as prepared as I could possibly be, and I just didn't catch them. Like, I don't know how else to put it. And the thing about it is, whenever you're catching them, you feel like that could never happen to you.
Yeah.
And then whenever you're not catching them, you're like, I don't know if I'll ever catch them again, you know? And I mean, nothing drastic has changed, though. It just feels like I've just got different results this year for whatever reason. I mean, I've made a few better decisions on the water. I've made some adjustments quicker, but that comes back to fishing your strengths, because I fish my strengths in every single tournament this year. You can make adjustments whenever you fish your strengths extremely quickly because you're so in tune with what's going on. Like, you know, if you fish down, like, you might only fish for like 7 or 8 minutes sometimes when you're doing your deal and you're like, this ain't exactly right. But if you're a little bit out of your comfort zone, it might take you 45 minutes to say, all right, maybe this ain't happening today.
That is
so. That comes back to fishing your strengths, because whenever you really understand what you're doing, you can make those adjustments quicker. So I think that's part of it, and that's just a lot to do with the schedule.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just feel like I've just been, you know, fortunate this year to get the results.
Man, that is such an interesting take on that. But it makes so much sense, because it's funny. I just got back from Gunnersville a couple of days fishing with some friends of mine. And it is so true when you go do something that you are dialed in on, or you've done your whole life, right? Like, this is how I like to catch them. How quick you can go, yeah, ain't right. Ain't right.
Right.
Ain't right. Yep. And then you pull up on a stretch and you're like, it's right. And you go to catching them. Like, it is amazing how quick you can do that. But when you're out there, like for me, I love to catch them live scoping, but I'm not great at it necessarily. I'll give up on it kind of quick. And then sometimes I spend too much time on it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, like I'll be out there screwing with one forever, and it's a damn, you know, grass carp or something, I'm sure, that I'm throwing at. And instead, I'll just go skip a jig under a dock. Like, that's just my, like, that's where I go with it. But it's interesting. I had two guys in the boat with me, though, that from out in Oklahoma, good buddies. And we were trying to deep fish, which is something on the Tennessee River I grew up doing, right? Like, I know how the school's set up, and I know how to, you know, position the boat, and I know what's right and what's not most of the time. But we'd pull in, like, catch one, but it wouldn't look right, and we'd catch one, and I was driving them crazy because I would say, all right, we're moving, let's go, and we'd be there for like 3 minutes, and I'd pull the and they're like, but we caught one. I was like, yeah, it was a 12 incher, and there's a bunch of big ones down there, I can see them, but they're not set up right, we gotta go, we'll come back later. And they're like, wait, what? And we go do something else, like fish up shallow, something would be set up right in the grass that I liked, and we'd go to catching them, and they're like, how do you know that? I'm like, it's what you're confident in, man. And they've not been, both of these guys have not been fishing a lot of years. And they're like, man, I don't know how you do that. And I was like, well, it's almost like it's an intuition thing.
Right.
And, and sometimes you make the wrong call. A lot of times you make the wrong call. It's just fishing. But I felt that statement for sure that you made, man. That's powerful.
And you have to live and die with it. You have to. But like, if you make the wrong call, you just eat it.
Yep.
Like, that's just part of, you just have to. You have to just trust your instincts.
No doubt about it, man. And you are, I mean, I know you're a shallow water guy, frogging, flipping, that's swim jigging. I know it, Sabine, you're swimming a jig, you're doing your thing. But I also know you're comfortable. You don't mind getting off the bank if you got to, though, right? Like St. Lawrence River, you're not opposed to getting a spinning rod out and going out there.
No, I'm not opposed to it at all. I actually like it. Like, I think it's fun. It's fun until they get beside the boat and you got to try to land it.
That's a
every other part of it's fun, but golly, you can't get a hold of them. But every other part of it, I love.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun when it's 65-pound braid and you can flop them into the floor of the damn boat.
Well, that's what I've been thinking about with these guys, bed fishing for them big smallmouths and stuff. I'm like, put that thing on 25-pound fluorocarbon and just swing them. I mean, it's a 6-pounder, but like, we swing 6-pound largemouth all the time on 25. Like, I don't know what, I don't know if they just won't bite it or what, but I'm like, I'd have them suckers in the, you give me a 2-minute penalty, I'll have them in the car.
Dude, it's so funny you said that. I was thinking the same thing this week watching it. And Dakota Ebear today was doing it with a bait caster. He was catching them on a bait caster. Now, I don't know, was he using 12-pound or 20? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But we were up there one time at Champlain years ago for an FLW tour, and I was rooming with Strader, and I
if anything specific.
No, it's nothing specific. Okay. This is more just like bed fishing in general. Okay. He did use a bait caster to catch smallmouth on the bed and big line,
right.
And I will say, like, I'm out there with a freaking, you know, spinning rod, and he's like boat flipping 4-pounders, and I'm losing them at the boat, and he's like, Duncan, they'll bite anything. It don't matter, dude. You just pitch in there. They'll bite.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that this week, like, all these giant smallies over 5, and I'm like, we're walking around the boat, but when I pull up on a largemouth that's a 5-pounder, I go for my 20 or 25 and my little old critter to pitch in there. I'm like, why is it not the same for smallmouth?
Oh, yeah. Like, if I've got one, like, if we're in Florida and I've got one real big one, like, just one real big one that's, like, in a hard-to-reach space, I'll put 30 on one rod and have one rod sitting there just for that fish. Like, just for this one, like, for 3 casts all day long.
I get it.
And then you see a smallmouth up there, and you're like, I need my 7-pound line.
Yeah, I don't understand why we're automatically tuned to go that way. And I know Wheeler, when he won, I believe it was St. Lawrence a couple of years ago, and it was the every fish counted thing. I think he was throwing heavier line because it was such a game, he could get them in faster, right? Like he could winch them in and get right back in there, which was genius. I mean, which is why he's one of the best. He plays the chess match part of it as good as anybody. That's for dang sure. Cayuga got some big ones in it, don't it?
Yeah, real big ones. Like, actually surprisingly big.
Like, that's been disgusting to watch for 4 days down here in the South, burning my ass up, freaking 90 degrees, and fishing Gunnersville in the middle of a big bass splash tournament over there going on. 9 million boats on the water, and I've got it pulled up on my phone. It's like, that's a 6'10", that's a 6'3", that's a 6'4". I'm like, get out of here. That's not even –
it's crazy.
That's like – should be against a damn law. It's not even remotely okay. But y'all, so going back to y'all's schedule, y'all have St. Lawrence, Champlain, and St. Clair, right?
The three left. Yeah, St. Clair first.
So Champlain, you don't have to just be a smallmouth guy. You can do your thing up there. St. Lawrence, you're going to have to do your thing. Like, everybody knows the St. Lawrence thing. I feel like it's about finding quality. And then St. Clair, have you got experience on St. Clair?
I fished once. I fished an elite there. In my rookie year,
I
fished an elite there.
Yeah, rookie. Was that the one, the what was his name? Bill Wilder? Yeah, from Alabama one. Yeah.
Yep.
Is it any word? Is it fishing better? Because I know that one was kind of grimy and it's still in a COVID hangover kind of thing from what I've heard.
In our tournament there in 2020, we were not allowed to go into Canada.
Oh, that's right.
So super small playing field and also probably the worst half. So,
yes.
You know, we'll go back this time and have a lot more area to fish and probably better area to fish. So, I mean, just, you never know how good a place is doing until, you know, one of these big tournaments gets there. But I feel like St. Clair has been doing better. Like, from what I've been seeing, it looks like it's been trending up for like 10 years now.
Yeah, social media stuff looks good. I mean, just some of the posts.
It looks like it's just getting better and better. All them Great Lakes are just getting, like, better and better and better. It's like, I don't really understand how they keep getting bigger. Shouldn't they be maxed out at some point?
shouldn't they not buy an Ed Rig eventually? Like, just give up? Yeah. Like, they see so many? Yeah, man, I think we are, like, this Cayuga deal blew my mind that there were, which, I mean, I understand it's spawning and it's perfect situation with some of the best cats at doing it, obviously. When you got Van Dam sight fishing for smallmouth, there are not a lot of people that have more experience than that cat doing that, obviously. But, you know, it's amazing to me that 28 and 29-pound stringers of smallmouth aren't just headline news. I mean, they are, but it's like, damn it, man. I grew up around smallmouth on Pickwick, like, and I've seen 28 to 29-pound bags and 27s weighed in tournaments and stuff. But, dude, that's a monster bag of smallmouth.
Yeah, unbelievable bag of smallmouth.
I mean, like, I can't get that across to people. Like, if you've never been up there, like, oh, I caught 22 pounds and was 40th. Well, yeah, that's freaking unbelievable, man. Like, right. It's crazy to me. Those weights were just stupid.
And it's such a big difference between a 5 and a 6.
Oh, gosh,
like,
yes.
Huge as far as smallmouth goes. That's like a difference between like a 6 and an 11.
Yes.
On the sense of a largemouth.
Yes. Totally agree. Yeah,
like crazy difference. Like just that 1 pound is huge.
Dude, Wheeler hitting a 7 pounder right in the freaking face. Oh my gosh. Like, dude, that that thing was like, it looked like something out of a damn museum, dude.
Yep.
Nasty.
I caught one last year on St. Lawrence that was 6'12", and that's my biggest one I've ever caught. I didn't know what it was when I saw it on Ford Face Sonar, but like a quarter when I threw to it, it never made it to the bottom. And then it came up jumping. I was like, oh, that's a freaking giant.
Oh my gosh, dude. That I've got a 6'8", and I've caught 1 6'8", a 6'6", and I think 2 6'2"s. Like on pick, I've never hit 7, never even hit 6 3/4. And that is when they go above that 6 pound mark, dude, that's just a different animal all the way around.
Did you catch them off bed or on forward facing sonar?
No, I didn't. No, this was actually, I take that back. The one I caught it, I did catch one at OH Ivy that was the lake record for 5 minutes the year in 2021 when OH Ivy. Yeah, and it was on forward facing and 6'8". So that one was, it was a rig forward facing. So that'll get all the internet fired up. You shouldn't have caught that. That doesn't count. But the other ones, I caught one on St. Clair. 6'7" on St. Clair back in the day, and then before forward facing, and then the other two were on Pickwick, one on swim bait, and one actually on a Bandit 200 series crankbait back in the day.
Any smallmouth not caught on forward facing sonar or off the bed should get a pound added to it. Like, so you should call it a 7'7".
Yeah.
That's like the forward facing sonar handicap.
Is that, that's like the Barry Bonds home run year when he took steroids. Is that what we're comparing that to? All these tournaments are going to have an asterisk beside them.
That's how it feels.
Yeah. Well, dude, I did say that before I got on here. It's a little weird with that catch, weigh, release thing. And I've already talked this to death, but, and I don't know how you would ever police this, but it was weird that those guys got to catch the same ones a lot. And it was definitely going down. Like, they were fine, and you had to find new ones, obviously, to keep up with the pace. But, like, I was watching it today, and Dudley's like, well, I got a 5'12", a 5'9", and a 5'6" that I caught the other day. I'm going to go back to here in a little bit. And that's the thing with that catch, weigh, and release. Like, that's weird, right? Like, you don't have that luxury in one where you're dragging them around and taking them to the weigh-in, but it's all part of the strategy. And if it was a rule, I don't know how you going to police it unless you're like, oh, you got to put a like zip tie around them, this pink zip tie around their tail so we know whatever. Like, I don't know.
And then it could be a problem. Like, if you catch one that's a 5'10 or whatever, and then obviously it's a non-traditional format, so you have to put it back. And if you're not allowed to catch it on the next day, but the other 39 guys are allowed to.
That's a great point.
That's not good either because you don't have the same playing field as them. So,
that's
true. It's almost impossible to police. I
feel
like you just have to say, hey, you get it once a day. Like, that's just, oh, well, you just have to, that's the only way you can make that rule.
And I don't know, their rule may say that now. Like, I don't know. Because I know back in the catchway release, like the Every Fish Counts days, I want to think they did put something in there to keep a guy from sitting there and going, pitch, 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 back to the same 3 pound smallmouth on the same. I don't know. I thought that they had put something in there.
I'm 99% sure that they can only catch it once a day.
Okay, once a day.
But yeah, but which I mean that was our rule too. We were on fork and they were spawning.
It really?
Once a day. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. So Bass did that because y'all could release them.
Yep. And there was actually one fish that like three of us caught in one day.
See, well, that happened in this one. Like somebody sent it to me. And it was like Van Dam caught one day, it weighed 6'8", and then Spencer Sheffield caught it the next day, and it weighed 6'5", because, you know, they go in the separate groups or whatever. And it was the exact same stretch of water for sure, you know. I mean, you could tell, and the fish looked identical. But I mean, that's going to happen. That's interesting. Three different cats caught the same 104. That's hilarious.
And
it was like a
4'15 largemouth, too. Like,
and it bit.
Three of us caught it on day one, so, I mean, hey. I'll take it, but
That's
in a regular tournament, amazing. I would have just rolled up and saw an empty bed.
That's true. Very true. Right. Damn, that's interesting. I guess that probably happened up there, right? I mean, it had to have been. They were catching the same ones in the same day.
It had to have been.
I'm not
super familiar with how smallmouth are as far as like guarding the bed, but I know a largemouth, if that female has laid eggs in the bed, you can catch that male like six times in a day if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Like if there's eggs in the bed, he's going to guard it with his life.
He's going to bite.
So, I mean, that's kind of the, when you find one of those, you know, everybody can catch it.
That's interesting, man. Well, I got one for you that I wanted to ask you, cause this all happened this week. And I think you're a good guy to talk about this because you've always got an interesting take on things. I feel like that's outside of the box. But and I've seen a couple guys post this, but you've got, and if you've talked about this already, just let me know. But you got this LIV Golf PGA Tour thing going on, and it's amazing because you came in, 4 years ago, right around the split and all that. And you've
like
been
a year after.
A year after, but you've
or
been
2 years after.
You've been in this deal and now everything has settled out, man. You got them, they're doing their thing. Bassmaster doing their thing. But PGA Tour, they said, we will never take that dirty money, that dirty, rotten LIV Golf money. This LIV Golf, these guys are banished to hell forever. And then this week they're like, well, guess what? We're all the same. Will we ever see that in bass fishing, Kyle Welcher? Will we see that happen? Ever?
Hey, if the money's right, I'm going to tell you, the people who say they won't take the money have not been offered the money.
Yes. So, I love it.
I have no idea. I have no inside knowledge of anything.
Right, right.
But, I mean, I guess that Saudi money changes people's minds quick.
Ain't no doubt about it, man. Ain't no doubt about it. Holy crap.
I feel like it would be good to have, you know, like back in the day, there was one tour. Bassmasters was it.
Yep.
So everybody on the Bassmasters was like, that's it. That's the pros, period.
Yes.
And then now it's spread out. And I mean, every single tour now has so much legitimacy that it's really spread out. So there's not really like a number one proven grounds, period. So maybe that's bad. Maybe that's good. I have no idea. I know all the different organizations do a ton of good stuff with live coverage.
Yeah.
And I mean, if there's three different big organizations that have 6 to 9 tournaments a year or whatever, that's more live coverage that fans can watch. So I see it's good from that perspective. But
right.
I feel like it's going to stay. I don't think that's going to happen, but if the money's right, it will.
I love that. Quote Kyle Welcher, ladies and gentlemen. If you say you wouldn't take the money, you ain't been offered the money.
That's it.
And dude, it is very, very true. Morals get tested when them checkbooks come out sometimes in life. Ain't no doubt about that. And where you think you stand can change your footing pretty quick when the ink starts getting put down on paper. But that one really did. Like, I don't know how much I'm not obviously not a golf guy. I've got like a dad bod. Like I'd probably look pretty good on a golf course with some of the cats I see playing golf. Like put me in a damn golf shirt that's too tight and give me some beer and a cooler. Like I'd probably look like a golfer, but I'm not, in case anybody out there is wondering. But my boys, they like to golf and they keep up with it some, and I've watched some documentaries. There's a good deal on Netflix about it. About the PGA Tour. It's really cool. I forget the name of it now, but anyways, you need to go check it out if you haven't. And it was filmed during the height of all of that. And it's really interesting. And the hate back and forth. And it did remind me of like when the BPT Elite Series thing happened, just being in the middle of that from a media perspective like I was, and then knowing the anglers that were going through it. And it was very simple. I mean, dude, it was almost the same other than there's like billions of dollars involved in bass fishing. We're fighting over crackers.
Like they got offered $200 million.
And all boy Duggan did was like, hey man, we won't make you pay an entry fee for a year. that was it. That was all it took. And these Saudis just like, here's all the oil money. Y'all come play golf. But the guys that were PGA loyal though, which are like Bassmaster fans and the Bassmaster pros that stayed to me, we're like, hell no, there's no way. And dude, just here it is. Like money talks, I guess, you know, ultimately. Yeah. Like it just, and it's cool that there'll only be one organization. going back to what you said, you know, for the fans, yes, I think having all the different organizations that do their thing, it is cool. They got so many options now. But I think for the fans also, if there was, even if it was just one event, and I've said this on the show many times, even if it was just one event like that old TTBC used to be, where it was like the American League versus the National League, you know, it's this all-star event. Like, somebody needs to put the money up in this industry and do that. Maybe I'll get some sponsors, and by God, I'll do it. It'll be the Low Lifer Classic. I don't know.
That's what it needs to be. It needs to be straight all-star game casting, yes, competitions, not time, yes, everything.
You got, like, seminars. You can come hang out with your favorite pros. But at the end of the day, the top 10 from the BPT and the top 10 from the Elite Series are going to duke it out for however much. But, dude, it would be awesome. It would be so much fun.
Absolutely.
I mean, so much fun.
I think it'd be awesome for the sport too, because you got the loyal people for Bass, you got the loyal people for MLF, and they'd be talking junk online, and then it all comes to a head, you know.
Yeah,
and, one tournament wouldn't prove anything actually, but it'd be still be fun to do, you know.
Yeah, but you can still talk crap.
And
the internet's going to talk crap, Kyle Welcher. I don't know. I mean, you are a YouTube man and an Instagram and a Facebook man, but, you know, they will, you've got a little fan base, but people will talk a little crap every now and then on that old internet through them keyboards.
Yeah, and it's always when they don't use their real name.
Do you get them? Do you get them on Kyle Welcher Fishing on YouTube?
It's very, very rare on YouTube. Actually, very rare. But if I post something on TikTok.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Big time.
I did TikTok for about 6 minutes, like 2 years ago, and I've got 5 kids, and they were like, hey, man, we need you to stop being on TikTok, Dad. This is not okay. And I wasn't doing, like, TikTok dances and shit. It wasn't nothing like that. But I was just posting fishing videos to TikTok, and, like, my 15, he's 15 now, he was like, Dad, my friends are on there. It's not cool. You can't be on TikTok. Like, this is not okay. And so if you see at Luke Duncan on TikTok, there is one out there, and it's got about 6 videos, but whatever the last date of the one is, that's it. But I did notice that in the small time I was on there, they're savages on there.
Yeah, it's way different. And what it comes from is the way the algorithm is, it's not actually like you posting content to your fan base. It's
that's just right.
You posting content to whoever's phone it pops up on.
Yep.
Whenever you post a YouTube video, it pops up on to people who have already have already made the decision to watch you.
Yes.
And that's a completely different thing. that's like you telling your family bad news and then you telling random people that hate you bad news.
That's such a good point, man. Anytime I've had 2 or 3 this year on Facebook in particular, but videos, like I had the one of me falling out of the damn boat and it went viral. Like, I don't know how many times it's been shared. It's stupid, but you can immediately tell when it gets away from your people.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. The notifications change for sure.
Yep.
The kind of comments coming at you are never like, man, I wish this guy would have drowned. You're like, what? Who is that? And you start doing background checks on people, like, damn, that guy doesn't like his life at all.
Yep.
That's so funny you said that, though. That's a good point, though. When you're talking to your fan base, now I get them on here. They come to Low Budget Live. I get fewer negative comments now than I did back in the day when I was really stirring the pot a lot back in like 2019, 2020. They come out of the woodwork to your boy's YouTube channel back then, but now it's calmed down a little bit, to say the very freaking least. So I've got to ask you this. Do you miss nursing school?
No, absolutely okay. Not.
Heck no. Yeah, you're glad you're not changing, you know, swapping out IVs right now somewhere. You'd rather be throwing a frog leading England here.
I can tell you the story of that, actually, if you want to hear it.
I would love to hear it.
So I got accepted. I never actually went to nursing school. I did my prereqs, and I applied for nursing school, and I got accepted. And they had accepted it, but I hadn't signed up yet. So I had been out playing poker the night before, and like they called me at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And when you're playing poker, 8 o'clock in the morning is early. So they called me at like 8 o'clock in the morning. They're like, hey, we haven't received your whatever for me to finish, you know, pick my classes or whatever I need to do for nursing school. And I told them, I said, give that spot to somebody else. And then I played poker and that was it.
Unreal, man.
So if they'd called me about 12, I might be a nurse.
Unbelievable.
Nah, I don't think it would have ever worked for me. I just did it because I thought it was the smartest thing with travel nursing and stuff like that.
Okay, so that's what you were headed towards then, was travel nursing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you could get a degree so quickly, you know, and make a lot of money travel nursing at the time. And then
interesting.
It just went, I don't fit into the mold though. So I just had to go do something else.
Dude, it is I love stories like that. That's what this show's about for me, is getting people, you know, getting down to, because I know we didn't talk about that the first time I had you on. And that is so damn interesting, but life's just a game of chance, right? Like, you just never, it depends on you what side of the fence you decide to jump over on. And damn, Kyle Welcher, you picked the right one, dude. Now do you still dabble in the poker stuff at all? I know I think I've asked you that before, but is it you just too busy now with sponsor obligations and fishing the elites?
No, I played a lot last fall. I play a lot every fall. And then, okay, like last year we had a break, like we do right now, where we had a month off, and I went to Vegas and I was in the World Series, you know, out there during the World Series.
Okay.
I couldn't play the main event because we had a tournament the same day, but okay, I was out there in Vegas, and then I flew back and then went to a tournament. So, and then I played all fall whenever the season's over, but starting in January, I quit this year, you know, just so I could focus on fishing. And then I have not played since January. And then we got a month off right now, so I might go find somewhere to play.
Is that one of those things? Because I'm terrible, terrible at card games. I have been my whole life. My brain works too slow. But is that something, if you wonder what that is in the background, I don't know if you can hear that, but it might be coming a tornado at my house right now. It damn sure sounds like it outside. but, like, it just shook the LBL bar and grill with some damn thunder. Goodness gracious. Crazy. But is that something that when you take a break from it, does it take you a couple games to kind of get back, or is it just something that never leaves you, like riding a bike? You just jump back in. And because it is about decision making and obviously knowing the, you know, what you're dealt and what you're against in the deck and the other folks and playing them. Is that something though that it's easy to just kind of jump right back into?
Well, hold on a second. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry, Luke. Yeah. Do you have something to a pen?
Buddy, are you getting asked for an autograph and a picture on Low Budget Live?
I didn't recognize you. I was like, damn, there am I. I didn't recognize you at first.
So the Low Budget Live first, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't recognize y'all. Yeah. We'll see y'all. I'm on the phone right now.
Hey, ask them if they're low lifers. Just ask them that, Kyle. Say, y'all low lifers?
So that was actually my cousin messing with me. They were on the phone. So I
thought somebody was asking you for an autograph. I didn't know where we were doing this interview from. I was like, is he at the Walmart? What's happening right now?
No, I was at my house, and they did pull up asking for an autograph, but it was one of my cousins, and I didn't know his new wife. I've never met his new wife.
Oh,
so that's who was asking for an autograph, and I didn't see him in the driving the truck until afterwards. And I was like, this is a convenient time. I've never had to sign an autograph at my driveway.
You were fixing to look like a baller on LBL. Somebody stopped at your driveway. I was going to say, when you're at them poker tournaments, is anybody like, hey, you got any frog fishing tips? How are you throwing that Spro frog, Kyle Welcher? You just got your sunglasses on and you got the flow and nobody's paying you any attention.
Well, actually, it depends on where I go. If I go to like Harris Cherokee or somewhere around in here or Biloxi or somewhere like that, I do actually get it occasionally. And I actually played with Jim Moyna in Biloxi one time.
No kidding.
That was before I was actually on the elite.
Seriously?
But but like if I'm in Vegas, everybody out there they have no idea what bass fishing is, I don't believe.
No, they dialed in on their own thing out there, man. In Vegas, you never know anymore, man. There's a lot of stuff that'll get you out there in that town. I'm a fan for about 48 hours, and then I got to get out there because I don't want to die, Kyle Welcher. That's why I don't want to stay in Vegas for longer than 48 hours. I get caught up in doing too many crazy things sometimes. But, well, dude, are you going to – we'll end with this. That way we can get you back inside safe from the paparazzi and the fans.
I apologize.
No, dude, that was amazing. Like, I am here for stuff like that. You should know that by now. I love it. I know you said, I saw a video at Sabine, you're like, well, the flow's got to stay. We keep catching them. So are we going to see a haircut this year, or are we just going to keep sending it?
No, no haircut. Now, so the way the hair was going – I was going to cut it as soon as I missed the day three cut.
Okay.
So I'm planning on growing it all the way out.
I'm here for it, man. Let's get it down to you, down past your shoulder blades for the Bassmaster Classic. I love it. Kyle Welcher, I got one more piece of advice for you. I got a song that this show opens with. It's called Biloxi Blues, and I say in the song, I never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine. You keep your ass out of Biloxi, okay, before this northern swing. All right, that's my final advice to you. I won't give you any fishing tips because you don't need any, but keep your ass out of Biloxi, Kyle Welcher.
That's solid advice.
All right, I appreciate you, Bubba. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Kyle Welcher, everybody. It's a dude right there. He is one of a kind, man. It's such a freaking interesting story. A very, very cool mind, the way his brain works. And that is, the world is that way, right? Like, not everybody's the same. That's what makes the world go round. It's what makes it beautiful. But it is cool to me because we get pigeonholed in bass fishing as I'm a dumb redneck, and I know I'm a dumb redneck, right? Like, I do redneck things. I like to, frog gig and shoot tannerite in my backyard to piss my neighbors off. You know, stuff like that. Like, I'm good with it. With the label. Hey, you want to call me redneck? Whatever, that's fine. But like a guy like Kyle, yeah, he's from the South, but he's so introspective. He's got this brain. But it's interesting to see all the different characters that we have in bass fishing and hear all the different stories that lead them to the path of doing what they're doing. And that's one of the main reasons I love getting to sit in the seat week in and week out. I love the stories. I love the personalities. And I love the lowlifers, man. I love y'all for tuning in each and every week and giving me the opportunity to talk to folks about how they got to where they are, talk about where they're at in life currently. And it's cool. And there's not many folks in professional bass fishing cooler than Kyle Welcher. So make sure you're following his YouTube. Make sure you're following Instagram, Facebook. Good stuff all the time. Appreciate y'all following along. Make sure you're subscribed and all that good junk. Spread the word about LBL. I think we're almost like 18,000 subscribers on YouTube, which just blows my mind. And I'm so appreciative for each and every lowlifer out there that tunes in every week. It amazes me. I have folks ask me, oh, how big is your audience? And the numbers that I get to rattle off just truly do, man. They humble me and they blow my mind all the time. So I appreciate y'all. Hope y'all enjoyed this week's show. I'm going to take you out with them damn Biloxi Blues. Kyle Welcher got to keep his ass out of Biloxi. Get out of there. Them riverboat dealers are rough. I'll see y'all next week. See you.
From Jacksontown to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost.
Also, well, I'm gonna check out this badass John Prine shirt. Any direction, so cool. Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. And a spare, just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.